Okay, welcome to our village board meeting on January 27th. Regular scheduled board meeting. It's 7:05. I'd ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Carji.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Hennig.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Adusi.
Here. If I can ask you all stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, Citizens Comments goes on. Okay, thank you. Okay, since this is a short meeting, why don't we have all of our speakers speak now? John, you're first up. You got a new idea. We're all ears.
Okay, that's what I want to hear.
Okay.
First of all, I'm John Dzuriak, and I haven't been around for a while, but I'm here. And I'm a new face as well as I'm seeing new faces on the board. But thank you for all you do for us as a community. I know it takes a lot of time and effort, and you never get enough praise and appreciation, but those are people out here. There are people out here that notice it and appreciate what you're doing. The idea that I've got, I was over at the Westmont Library, and they have a Rotary Club Westmont Community Calendar for every year, okay? And I learned that, it's the free handout that they have at the library, and that's where I got it. And I was looking through it, and I thought I would share this information with you. I know that you folks sometimes are interested in what other villages are doing or how you go about doing certain things. And let me just go to my notes here. The Rotary Club puts out a calendar with the Westmont. It's a Westmont community calendar. The Rotary Club also is involved with for 2020. And I learned that that seniors that live in Westmont, age 65 and older, and that live in a owner-occupied single-family residence may receive a 25% discount off their garbage portion of their water bill. And I thought, gee, maybe that's an idea I could pass on to you folks. I know that you recently used some, I think, women's club money to help fund this new snow removal project that, if you qualify, the village will help, you know, offset some of the cost of the snow removal at certain residents. You know, I thought, well, maybe that's another way you guys could help, you know, support the seniors in a subtle way. I know you often compare services and fees with surrounding communities, especially when you are looking into raising the parking fees for on-street services and things like that. So I thought, well, maybe, you know, this might be something that it states senior citizen discount. Seniors age 65 and older who live in an owner-occupied single-family residence in Westmont may receive a 25% discount off the garbage portion of their water bill. For more information, contact Westmont Business Office 630-981-6220. So that's just maybe an idea. You guys might be able to help support the seniors in the community in some way, or if they qualify, or whatever kind of regulations you might put on it. And then I wanted to ask you also to reinforce the regulation that we have that contractors can't use snow blowers from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. in our village. And I'm still, I hear occasionally on where I live that they are doing that. And if you post it online, they can't use snow blowers, but they can use snow plows.
Yes, yes.
I was the one responsible for making you guys realize that years ago. If you notify these vendors, I would suggest do it in multiple languages, because they're not all, you know, English-speaking contractors. So I would try to make them aware of that regulation that's supposed to be on our books. Thank you.
Yeah, great. Thanks, John. You might want to say we do give.
Right. Yeah. For vehicle stickers, I believe Rosie was, or maybe Kiki. Yeah, Kiki, there's a discount for senior vehicle stickers.
There is a discount.
Okay.
Yeah, but there is one.
So. But there is one.
But John, you bring up a good point. Well, yeah. You know, it's obviously a cost, but, you know, if there's a need, yeah. Yeah. No, thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, Chris Hilko, thank you.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to address this group. It's my first time addressing you all, and I do appreciate it. I am here primarily, I guess first and foremost, to applaud you for your decision on establishing a citizens committee to investigate deer management. This is a significant issue. I live on the north end of Franklin Avenue, and we are greeted by a number of deer on an ongoing basis, and actually quite enjoy it. It's something that is made part of our neighborhood. We have about 12 homes on our block. I did an informal survey. I got 14 people who said no to culling, or no, I'm sorry, I interviewed 14 people. I got 11 to say no to culling, one to say definitely kill some deer, and two moved out because the taxes were too high. So that's kind of where we stand at the 1400 block of Franklin Avenue. But this is an important issue. We do live in a community that has a forest, that has a river. Those of us who attended some classes in elementary school and natural sciences understand that that's natural habitat. There are some public safety issues, obviously, but I think that there may be some misunderstandings about the role deer play in those scenarios, particularly with respect to Lyme disease. So I definitely encourage this august group to approve this resolution, and I certainly would be more than welcome to participate in the committee. I understand from the resolution that there will be an application process. So
yep.
I applaud that.
Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Mary?
Can I just say the discount for vehicle stickers is $25.
Okay.
Only one vehicle per household.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, good evening. Mary Vanker, 1234 Monroe Avenue. I wanted to speak tonight about the resolution to form a deer management committee. What I'd really like to do is obtain some clarity about a couple of things and to understand a little better the contemplated limits on how the committee functions. In my reading of this resolution, the committee is created to investigate and make a written report and recommendations regarding deer management in River Forest by September 30th, 2020. This is an important function of such a committee, but there are many other functions that a committee can perform as it does its work. The community models that I have found are using the deer management committee to solve issues of deer nuisance, deer vehicle accidents, and reducing the spread of Lyme disease. The committees are taking steps to make a difference in their communities on day one. I'm concerned that the resolution might suggest that the work of the committee or the implementation of the recommendations will be delayed until next fall after a written report is prepared and presented to the board. I think that it would be desirable if the committee could come to the village board at any point along the way with suggestions or recommendations about steps that the village might take to manage deer conflicts. Similarly, I would hope that the committee might develop its own proposals as to how it might best assist the community. I could imagine, for example, that the task force might discuss and develop a protocol to respond directly to residents who have concerns or complaints, or who wish to provide other information to the committee. I urge you to think that this is an opportunity for the committee to work with residents and the village administration to begin assisting in solving residents' concerns as soon as possible. If that is not already contemplated by the authorizing resolution, then I would respectfully recommend that the resolution be modified to allow it to do so, and that the committee be authorized to develop its own proposals for how it can best work on deer management issues. The second topic that I wish to address is that I have been asked by Dr. Ingrid Liu, who's a River Forest resident, lives on Thatcher, who cannot be here this evening, but would like to share some information about Lyme disease. She let me know that she sent you all an email dated November 26, 2019, using the Village Board website. In that email, she stated that she wanted to share her medical knowledge of Lyme disease. I'm now reading from her email about Lyme disease. It is a reportable disease that is tracked closely by the Cook County Department of Public Health. In fact, I diagnosed a case last year and was immediately contacted by the Department of Health. My patient lives in River Forest, but contracted it on the East Coast. We are not in the middle of an epidemic, end quote. Today, Dr. Liu asked me to tell you further that she had direct contact with the Cook County Department of Health last March, who denied any increase in cases locally. Dr. Liu also told me that the Cook County Department of Health is closely monitoring for Lyme disease and looking for any patterns or increases in cases. In Cook County, the only hot spot is the Forest Preserve District of Cook County property in Palos Heights. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Eskel?
Hello.
It's
vodka.
Vodka, which is better yet.
No. Water. No, it's dry in here, and I've got lots of dry throat in here. So my name is Askild Kosbur. I live at 1235 Monroe Avenue, River Forest. And based on previous statements, you all know that I'm in favor of the task force, so thank you very much for putting that all together. So my topic tonight, though, is one of public health, and that's Lyme disease. And I wanted to bring some information for you. First of all, I want to make it extremely clear that I do not want to disparage or downplay in any way. Absolutely clear. Any village residents who have been affected by Lyme disease, either by even being infected themselves or having family members with the disease. If left undiagnosed and untreated, Lyme disease can cause serious health problems. My wife and I have a child with a serious chronic illness, so we fully understand how devastating it is to live with that. Now, the January 22nd, 2020 issue of the Wednesday Journal included an article suggesting that we may have an epidemic in the village. But I do not believe that there is any substantiated basis for such a claim. I recognize fully that the Wednesday Journal article is not based upon statements from village officials. At the same time, however, I think it would be very concerning that if in the future the village administration were to exaggerate the risk to village residents by suggesting that we have an extraordinary tick infestation or a grave risk of contracting Lyme disease in the village. There should be a well-documented and vetted basis for any such claims made by our public officials. In the future, if you as public officials were to make and rely on similar statements without first working with and getting accurate, vetted information from the public health department, CDC, and other agencies responsible for collecting and disseminating actual data, not anecdotal, it would be a dangerous disservice to residents and would set the village of River Forest up for a regrettable loss of respect and reputation in the public domain. It should be the job of the public officials to disseminate only very well supported and vetted information regarding anything that may be a possible health emergency. If you review in detail the CDC website, Cook County and Illinois are not high in incidence areas of Lyme disease compared to other areas of the U.S. It supports what Dr. Liu had mentioned earlier. The website itself, the CDC website, is a tremendous source of useful information, including a yearly breakdown of disease cases by each county in the U.S., including Cook County. You can find it very easily by yearly incidences. I urge you to consult this resource and conduct an in-depth study of this information. I agree with previous resident comments that a concerted public education program should be included as part of the task force effort being discussed here today. This public education program should enlighten, but not frighten, residents about Lyme disease, its transmissions, its symptoms, its treatments, prevention, and other factors, and to help ensure that the information provided to the community or reported in our local press is accurate and well supported to ensure that misinformation is not spread. As I said earlier, Lyme disease can be a very serious matter. We all know that. However, as public officials, you should not exaggerate the danger of Lyme disease in River Forest by stating that we somehow are an epicenter or that we have an epidemic without first getting full, accurate, vetted information. After seriously gathering this information, the village administration can put together a public education program for village residents. And then, until then, it should avoid exaggerated statements that cause more panic than is necessary. River Forest residents are intelligent. We all deserve to receive truthful, accurate, vetted information from our public officials. Thank you, and have a good evening, and hopefully this won't be as long as last time.
Okay, thank you. That's cool. All right, that concludes our public comment. Carl, since you're from the Forest Preserve, I'll wait till you get to that part of the resolution so that you can, so we can speak on that. Okay, so I'm gonna ask now the elected officials comments and announcements. So maybe we'll start with Erica. Okay.
Thanks, Kathy. So before I begin, I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement and want to just, as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on lands that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, Chippewa, Menominee, and Potawatomi nations and more. And we will remember our nation's history and honor the Native peoples stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. Want to talk a little bit about the census today and give a couple more facts about why the 2020 census is so important. So it helps establish fair market rents and enforces fair lending practices. And it also helps with the planning of health and educational services with people with disabilities. I do also want to remind the public, and I think I've seen people pretty good, but when talking about people with disabilities and their older and senior residents and people who come through the village, that everybody shoveling their sidewalks and keeping that well maintained is so important for people to have access to the roadways, and especially important for those who live on the corners to go all the way to the end. Eric, you might be able to give a little bit more insight on this, but sometimes I think we forget about those sidewalks and like right there, and is that the responsibility of the resident, and just making sure that we're doing that for our neighbors?
The answer is yes. And I know Lisa, through our code enforcement process, said that.
Sorry about that. Lisa, in the code enforcement function of the village, sent out reminders, tags, warnings to residents who were not keeping up with their sidewalks.
Yeah, we have an inspector go through the community on Friday, and we'll have several.
Wonderful.
Yep.
That's it for me.
Okay, thanks, Erica. Tom? Okay.
Nothing. No comments.
Yeah.
Nothing for me.
Just one quick update that I just heard from Johnny Anderson at Public Works, that we've closed our holiday lights recycling program. So save any more cords and lights that you have for the recycling extravaganza, hopefully in May. And then we'll be looking for a report on how much we deflected from the landfill from Strom?
It's actually Elgin Recycling.
Oh, Elgin Recycling. Yeah. Yep. Thanks.
A couple things. First, I want to say good evening to everyone here. In regards to snow, and I don't know, don't necessarily need specific numbers now, but have we had residents participate in the snow removal?
Yes. The senior snow?
The senior,
yes, correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do we have a number? Off?
We can get you
and
that.
If not, I was just.
About 15.
About 15. Okay. So that's been going well. Okay. Good. The other thing I wanted to say is actually, Trustee Brennan and I both attended the Plan Commission meeting last week regarding the affordable housing plan. And I know John is in the process of incorporating some of the suggestions from commissioners. I think folks had some really good questions. It seemed clear that there's perhaps some question on where we're going, to what extent this looks like for our community in terms of affordable housing plan, just based on the questions that seemed clear. And so, like I said, John is going back and making some changes, and I know they will be meeting again, not on their regular scheduled date, but I understand another date is being scheduled. So then my question for our board then would be as far as next steps. So once the Plan Commission is able to meet again and make a recommendation to the Village Board, will we have time prior to a night that we're voting to accept the plan? Will we have a meeting for us to be able to discuss the plan and to hear from residents to be able to weigh in on the plan, and then plan to have a subsequent meeting after that to actually vote to accept the plan?
Well, I mean, it's certainly up to all of you. I mean, what we typically do is we take input from the Plan Commission, which is the public hearing, which is where the residents meet and discuss. And then, of course, we get the recommendation. But if you as a group say we need another meeting to listen to maybe John Hauzio, I don't know, or the Plan Commission, or other residents, I mean, we can certainly do that. There's, you know, no set way, but typically that's how it moves through. No, everything, like a zoning issue, or it moves from, you know, Development Review Board, or from a zoning, from plan, and then to us. But if you feel like you need another...
Well, I just mean, I think it would be helpful once the plan has been updated and available to the public for people to be able, you know, so I imagine
well,
there's a lot of folks who haven't had a chance to, especially now that changes are being made, so people have a chance to review it, hear us have a conversation about it.
But everything's available to the public, right?
Do you know what the comprehensive, do we have two meetings for the comprehensive plan?
We did. Initially, I don't know that we were going to, and I actually made the recommendation that we have a meeting to...
We normally
talk about it and then vote on it in a meeting after that.
I'm fine with that, but we normally do digest these things in one meeting. I mean, we can listen to the comments of the audience and then incorporate that into our discussion. But if you want to have two meetings, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
Well,
the
I just think it allows for people to really be able to reflect on what people say and think about potential changes or things that they would like to see incorporated before. How do you do that all on the same night? I just think it makes for much better evaluation and reflection to ensure that we're getting it right for what we want. I think certain things like this kind of beg that little extra effort than perhaps some other items, in my opinion. So I, people are in agreement with that.
It's up to, again, I'll leave it up to the consensus of the board. I mean, we can pick and choose which ones we want like this versus others. I mean, I don't know if it's prudent to do it for every item because we'll never get through these items.
I think for the affordable housing plan, like, I wouldn't mind that. I'm in favor of that.
I attended that meeting as well, and there was a lot of good discussion and ideas that were fresh for me. I hadn't heard before that I think merit some time to absorb and discuss. It's an important issue.
It's absolutely important.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons it goes to the plan. But yeah, I have no issues. I mean,
I'm up for two meetings.
Okay. That's what we'll do. Unless anybody else is objecting.
I would just suggest that if I'm not sure if John was planning to attend. If not, if we're going to hear from other residents, maybe John should be there to do his presentation.
Well, we're not even to that point yet because the Plan Commission still has to. They're still.
I'm just talking whenever that is.
In their.
That's not scheduled, but when it happens.
When it happens.
Public hearing. Yeah. When it's happening. And we don't know, frankly.
Right.
So I guess I don't have an issue with it, but is it something that's done during a village board meeting, or would it be a workshop type of? I mean, what's the
well,
what's
we could
the
have
most,
a committee of the whole.
The
I
most,
guess we could have a committee of the whole meeting
this.
And go through the first.
Yeah, I'd recommend a committee of the whole, just so we can kind of go through it all, and you know, get a complete understanding from the Plan Commission and Housiel and so.
Yeah, and then we can move it to the
then
board.
We can move to the board from there.
That's a good idea, Bob. All right. No problem. Okie dokie. Okay, Patty.
That's it. Yep. All thank right. you.
Bob?
Yeah, nothing.
Okay. Well, I have one thing, and on Friday, Bob and I met with the Forest Preserve, which we'll get into at the when we get to the deer management piece. So, but which was scheduled several weeks ago. So we'll talk more about that. But that's the only meeting I had in the last 2 weeks. Okay, so we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. If I can have a motion and a second to move 5A through D.
Move to approve the consent agenda, items A through D.
Second.
Okay, very good. Any comment, quick comment? Hearing none, I'll ask the village clerk to read it and then take the vote.
Consent agenda A, regular village board meeting minutes, January 13th, 2020. B, waiver of formal bid and award of purchase due to competitive quotes for a Mobark 2131 brush chipper from Alexander Equipment for $87,431. C, authorized proceeding with a text amendment to the village's zoning code regarding massage therapy establishment. D, village administrator's report. Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay. All right, so there's no consent items for separate consideration. Thank you, Russ. And then we have going on to recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees.
I move to approve an ordinance amending section 9-3-12 of the village code to install a no parking zone of 20 feet on both sides of the Central Avenue driveway for the Great House condominium complex located on 407 to 415 Franklin Avenue.
Okay. Should, where's Jeff?
So this request was fairly straightforward. Earlier this month, Traffic Safety met and discussed. Essentially, the condo association anecdotally was just they said they were having issues exiting the parking lot. Central Avenue, so this is at the northeast corner of Franklin and Central. Their driveway exits onto Central. Parking is on-street parking is allowed on the north side of Central in that area. And the issue seems to be that vehicles park very close to their driveway apron. So line of sight coming out of there is very is substantially minimized. So they were just looking for essentially a bigger buffer on either side so that they had a better line of sight when they were exiting, and that was essentially it.
So it's a loss of two parking spots on each side, one parking spot on each side.
If that, it's in total, there was, I think the one side already had kind of 8 feet, so depending on how it all shakes out.
The picture, it looked like they're both 8 feet on both sides right now.
I think one was like 8 and one was 10 or something like that, yeah. So it might only be one overall when all is said and done, to be honest with you, but not a substantial loss in either case, no. One thing that I should bring up that I think we'll circle back when the commuter parking study comes for discussion. One of the items that, or I guess one of the potential solutions that was brought up was the potential to switch the parking to the south side of Central in that area. It's a little more akin to what we do over on Hawthorne on the other side of the tracks, and would allow for, you don't have to have gaps in parking at the driveways, because obviously there are no driveways on that side. So they discussed that. Traffic and Safety Commission didn't seem to have a lot of issue with that. And it was mentioned to the consultant who's doing the traffic study or the commuter parking study for us. But staff discussed it as well, and there was some concern from an emergency vehicle response element. We have a lot of vehicles heading east down Central, and currently that's a straight shot. You don't have to swerve around vehicles because as you head east, there are no obstructions. If we switch parking over, that becomes a little bit different. So that was the only concern that was brought up. But we thought that prudent to kind of wrap that in with the entirety of the commuter parking study. Maybe there's a need for more parking that kind of leans a little bit harder into swapping it over there so we can gain some more parking back. But if there is no shortage of parking in that vicinity, maybe it's not worth it. So it just, like I said, seemed prudent to wait until we have a little more information on that end and kind of wrap it into a larger conversation before we bring it back to you folks.
So right now, a car heading westbound on can go into the parking lane to make room for the fire truck. Is that...
To be honest with you, not really, because most of the time those parking spots are all filled.
Yes, I guess that was sort of what I was thinking of.
The emergency being, as the vehicles are exiting Village Hall, if they had to have to head east, they don't have to swerve around anything as they head east on an emergency call. As they're coming back westbound.
No, I'm talking about, so two cars, you know, the fire truck coming east, a regular car coming west. Right now, they're still swerving. I mean, so what do you do?
Fair. Yeah, I mean, it's tight when there are two vehicles coming down there. It's tight to begin with. Certainly, if we had a fire truck heading down that one, I don't know that we ever have really trucks heading down Central. I imagine we're using Lake more than anything.
No, I think that's more for the police department.
Sure. But it wasn't even so much two vehicles with a parked car. It was just police vehicles heading east, having to, at each intersection, kind of swerving back around a line of parked vehicles on the south curb line, if you will, as they're heading out to an emergency. So again, we'll hopefully have some more information and maybe more need or indicate a lack of need to even switch it in the first place when we come back with the commuter parking study.
Because we're doing some things on the other side of Lathrop, right? We have some dedicated parking spaces to the office building that's next door to here that they quote unquote can use.
Are you talking on the east side of Lathrop?
Yeah, the east side of Lathrop.
So we have, that's all business parking on the south side of Central. But again, all the parking is on the south side of Central up until you get to, I think, William or somewhere in that area. But yeah, that's business parking that's very infrequently utilized, at least kind of just closer to Lathrop. There's hardly anybody in those spots.
Obviously, we're losing resident parking along here. We go from 8 and 10 to 19 and 27. So what are the, you know?
So that 19 and 27 isn't what we're going to, just as point of clarification. That was the example that the requester used. That's the building at Ashland and Central. And he was just using that as an example of we'd like to get something closer to that because they're 8 and 10 currently. So, yes, again, we are going to lose one spot, maybe two. I believe that's currently unrestricted or 2 hours, something. It's not resident-only parking or anything like that. But there will be some small loss of parking in doing this. Anything else?
Okay. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, go ahead, Kathleen, if you could take the vote.
Trustee Hennig?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Kargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Okay, very good. Okay, let's move on to unfinished business. So we got an item 8A. If I can get a motion and a second for 8A, and then we can go ahead and bring up Carl.
I'll move that we approve a resolution establishing a deer management ad hoc committee to investigate and provide a written report and recommendations to the president and board of trustees of the Village of River Forest regarding deer management.
Second.
Okay, very good. If I can ask Carl, if you wouldn't mind coming up.
Good evening. I'm Carl Vogel. I'm the director of communications for the Forest Preserves of Cook County. And I'm here in my role as a spokesperson for the Forest Preserves. As the Village of River Forest creates a new ad hoc committee to consider the issue of local deer overpopulation, we thought it would be useful to provide some background information and confirm our commitment to work with the Village on this issue. The Forest Preserves works to limit the number of deer in some of our preserves in accordance with our mission to, quote, acquire, restore, and manage lands for the purpose of protecting and preserving public open space. The Forest Preserves covers nearly 70,000 acres, that's 11% of Cook County, and has property in or bordering 112 municipalities. Our sites are home to woodlands, prairies, savannas, and wetlands, including 25 Illinois nature preserves and 4 land and water reserves. These are sites recognized by the state for their high ecological value. The Forest Preserves is its own unit of government, not part of the larger Cook County government, and works within a limited budget. Less than 1% of the property tax bill of a homeowner in Cook County goes to the Forest Preserves. Due to a lack of natural predators in today's Cook County, some of our preserves have a deer population out of balance with the local environment, which threatens the ecological health of these Forest Preserve properties. When deer consume nearly all the flowers, seeds, branches, and stalks they can reach across a site, native plants cannot successfully reproduce and spread. Loss of native vegetation also aids the spread of invasive plants because the deer find them unpalatable and harms insects, birds, and other wildlife that depend on these native plants. Overpopulation harms deer as well. When the deer population exceeds the environment's ability to sustain it, the animals are more vulnerable to disease and malnourishment. Our ecological restoration work is prioritized by location in the Forest Preserve's Natural and Cultural Resources Master Plan, which we created in conjunction with the Prairie Research Institute at the University of Illinois. Since the deer are the responsibility of the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, we need to request a permit for deer management at specific locations from the IDNR. We apply to manage deer at locations that are highly prioritized in our master plan and are experiencing the heaviest deer impacts, as measured by our staff biologists and biologists from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Last year, the Village of River Forest approached the Forest Preserves with the idea of partnering to manage the deer population at our Thatcher Woods complex. Resources from the village to the Forest Preserves through an intergovernmental agreement will allow us to add Thatcher Woods to our deer management program without removing this important ecological restoration resource from a higher priority location. We deploy deer management only to advance our mission to improve the ecological health of the Forest Preserves. River Forest is interested in limiting the number of deer on residents' property. This IGA is possible because those two goals align. Throughout the IGA process to date, the Forest Preserves has explained our approach to deer management and worked with leaders at the Village of River Forest. We have answered questions as requested by the village, including point-by-point written replies to questions put to us before recent village board meetings, letters that have been posted by the village to its website. As the village committee further explores options for this deer population issue in River Forest, we are happy to continue to provide information about our program that can help determine if an IGA with the Forest Preserves is the option the village would like to pursue. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Carl. Okay. If you have any questions for Carl, we can certainly ask him since he's at the podium. But get back here. No. You know, as part of our discussion, it's up to you. I'd open it up to versus you yelling it from your seat. Got to stop that. So any questions for the big question is obviously the Forest Preserve's participation in the task force. And it sounded pretty clear that Forest Preserve would participate in this ad hoc committee when needed, right? Sounds like.
Yes, we're absolutely answer questions as needed.
And provide information as needed.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes.
Any other questions that you might have? Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, Madam President.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and let's look, I guess, at the resolution. Yeah, we have a motion.
You and Katie Bob going to give an update on the meeting on Friday?
Oh, yeah. All we did is meet with Superintendent Randall and Commissioner Silvestri. And I know you guys talked to Tim, so I'd like an update on that, too. And what we talked about was just kind of what I think Carl just talked about is information that they, you know, normally get to provide the permit, kind of, well, you know, what you know, that process is. And they, I think they went through that, you know, pretty much what Carl just said.
So a couple interesting things. So first of all, the Forest Preserve does not own the deer. The state of Illinois owns the deer. So we have, pardon me?
Something I did not know.
So I learned this too. And so in the explanation of kind of the, what goes on is the professionals from the Forest Preserve District and the USDA, they evaluate the property and they see where, you know, where there's an absence of growth, where there should be growth. They also acknowledge that when there isn't that, that it's going out into other places. Where it goes, they don't know. You know, just you know, obviously some of us, you know, have an understanding of that. But I think they just kind of went through their deer management program again from a priority standpoint. Until we brought it to light, we weren't a priority. As he said, there's 11% of the county is forest preserve. There's larger areas with larger populations, and the management programs, correct me if I'm wrong, have been going on for years in other places.
Yeah. And that's where the information
And so the information that when people have asked questions of the Forest Preserve District, they're taking it from information on things that they've done in other parts of the county.
Yeah. Now, there was, you know, apparently there is some information, and I don't know what kind of information, so we're asking that of John McCabe. They must have some information on Thatcher Woods because they do work in Thatcher Woods. So, you know, that's one of the questions. I think I sent it to all you, the village board. That's a question we're still, you know, trying to get answered by Superintendent Randall, and I think he's aware of that. So we'll see what comes back in terms of the information that they do have on Thatcher Woods.
So I guess I do have a question for Carl in terms of your long-term comprehensive plan, and even in the letter that we received, let's see, so the letter talks about resources already being allocated for the Thatcher Woods complex and that some restoration work has already been done and fires have already happened, and that the third element to, you know, the with resources going to that was going to be
keep going, I'm sorry,
would include deer control. So I guess my question would be, absent the fact that the village approached you in terms of approached the forest preserves in terms of needing to do a culling, what would have been the potential plan or time frame for the forest preserves to address the deer issue?
I don't have that. I'm not an expert, so I would have to, I can't answer that right here and now. That's something that we can definitely, like I said, you know, one reason I was here to, at this kind of moment where a new ad hoc committee is being put together, we can answer those kind of questions. I do know that our management is carefully done on a site-by-site basis. So, you know, my understanding is that these different stages and these different tools, it is not a one size fits all. Then we always do controlled burns. Then we always do certain types of management or deer, including deer management. So I couldn't say for sure that this would certainly be the next step, regardless for this site, but our experts could answer that part.
The letter seemed to read that way. That's why I was just trying to
clarify
that was going to be a third element. So it sort of seemed like that was part of the Forest Preserve's master plan. So just trying to get an understanding of, for argument's sake, had we not approached, what would the forest preserves have been planning?
Yeah, I don't have that information, but we can get that to you for sure.
Okay.
Anything else?
Anybody else? That's the essence of the conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'm sure you're going to be talking about Tim and your conversation on Friday as well, as part of the resolution, or do you want to do that now, Patty?
I could do it now to kind of update
the board
in general on the, since our last meeting, I've done a number of things to try and get things going on the DARE task force in terms of checking out other communities and what they've done with DARE task force, doing a lot more reading in the Cornell DARE advisory website, which is very helpful. And I think just to kind of as a starting point, I would like to read, just for those here tonight and for those listening, I shared this with the board in an email, just to kind of reiterate the importance of taking the step that we're taking. And I copied this directly from the Cornell University. It's Cornell University and the Nature Conservancy has this community deer advisor. It's a great website, very robust, lots of information. So again, it's not as if our deer task force would have to, as I said previously,
recreate the wheel on a lot of things. There's information out there that can be very helpful. But specifically on their website, they share, they use the acronym CBDM, which is Community-Based Deer Management. And what it says is that it's a guided process for addressing deer-related problems. It focuses on careful planning, targeted actions, and measuring progress. The process is flexible, helping communities adapt their deer management plan as needs change over time. Why CBDM? Deer management is complex. By following CBDM, your community can avoid common pitfalls like jumping to action before creating a solid management plan or failing to consult wildlife experts who can help your community select the best management options. CBDM is based on sound science and learning by doing. Now, we have done parts of this, for sure. We have talked with some of the experts, but I think in terms of the full importance of having this task force, I think what we're doing is very important, because in terms of ongoing evaluation, this is going to be necessary. Just to share, that was also listed on this website, were common challenges, and this is what I think we already have been experiencing. So by not taking this step, we've had some challenges that I think perhaps could have been avoided, and we are where we are, so we're moving forward now. But one is the lack of agreement on the problem. Chances are slim that all sectors of the community will be in complete agreement about whether deer are really a problem, and if so, how they are impacting quality of life. Agreement about the existence and nature of deer problem must be sufficient to propel the issue toward resolution. Distrust of community leaders or wildlife professionals may develop quickly if a stakeholder group believes that its concerns are being dismissed or ignored by officials. Second common challenge is a desire to rush decisions. It is tempting to jump to a discussion of deer management actions prematurely. When we see a problem, we want to fix it. But without a common understanding of that problem and a goal statement describing the desired outcomes for your program, evaluating the success of the program in future years will be difficult at best. Consider bringing in a skilled process facilitator to help your community focus on scoping out the problem and defining goals before moving to the decision phase. So again, I think it's very clear that experts and other communities who have experienced the same thing, clearly we've recognized this is an emotional issue. It's a serious issue. It's something I personally take very seriously in terms of the self and safety and health of our residents, absolutely. But I want to make sure we get this right, and I want to make sure that we are evaluating things in the best manner that we can, which is why I'm supporting the Deer Task Force. And I think it's clear, based on other communities' experience, that there is the importance of having this task force. So, as all part of that, I did reach out to the Humane Society. That was brought up as a resource. I had a conference call with three members there. They're also willing to be a resource for us, helping with a community survey. Trustee Cargi and I had a conference call with Tim Pruce with the IDNR on Friday afternoon to kind of, again, go through next steps, expectations. He again reiterated the importance of the task force, most especially of a community survey, to be able to get a sense of the community in terms of what people are experiencing, to what scope, where are people experiencing things. Because even to move forward with calling, it's going to be very helpful for us as a community to recognize, where are we seeing the most conflicts? Is it really across the community? Is it in certain areas that we should be focusing on? Absent that data, it makes even calling, in my would think, less effective. So Tim is also willing to be part of that, as his availability allows, to be part of the task force to help us with analyzing a community survey to make sure that we are covering important topics on that. We talked about in terms of timing of the survey, and he was in agreement that having a target date of towards the end of spring, beginning of summer, to have that available. Let's see. So in terms of timeline now, just general timeline moving forward, as Trustee Cargi and I had discussed, would be obviously approving our resolution tonight, approving an application that we can get online as quickly as possible. I have talked with John Pape, and he is said it was fine. He has no problem with putting that application and getting it available this week, that we can have available via social media for the next week, having it available in the e-newsletter that goes out on the 7th. Mm-hmm. Trustee Cargi and I discussed a deadline in terms of when to have applications back. I don't know, we can discuss as we go along once we do the resolution, but in terms of reviewing the applications and timeframes of that, but then formalizing the task force the end of February, having our first year task force meeting on Wednesday, the 25th, possibly.
Probably the applicants would have to come before the 24th, so because I'll submit the names and you'll have to consent.
Right. No, we talked about
otherwise,
that.
Then
we talked about
March.
Having the deadline for the application on the 18th.
Okay.
So that we can, and John and I have already discussed what that will look like in terms of getting things back in a timely manner, so we have time to review those and have the task force.
Review what?
Review the applications from potential task force members.
Well, I'm going to, okay, but I
that you have time to review them before the 24th.
Agreed.
Having the meeting date set so when people are applying, they know that Wednesday would be the first date for the task force to meet.
Yes.
And then the number one critical piece would be creating that survey, so that's ready to go out towards the end of spring, summer.
So you envision then that survey being kind of put together in the March-April timeframe?
Yes.
Okay. That's up to you guys. We can put that into the resolution. We can keep it out. More dates you put in there, the more complex it's going to get. But
no, I'm not suggesting. I'm just giving you an update in terms.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Where
okay.
we're
Sorry.
At with the task force.
All righty.
Right.
Good.
And our thoughts on moving forward with it.
Okay.
One thing I did note in the draft task force, it doesn't have the number of committee members.
Right. I think that's what I was going to open it up for discussion. It obviously has to be an odd number.
Actually, it should be an even number.
Well, an odd number only for to break a tie.
I believe that all your committees and commissions have odd numbers because otherwise you could end up in a deadlock without a majority vote.
Well, that's fine, but the end result isn't a vote. It's basically a report, so you could have a majority report.
Right. I think the recommendation and report in number four in the subsection C of the resolution is that the report come out with recommendations. That needs to be supported by a majority when these ad hoc committees typically deliver reports like the sales tax task force and others in the past, the bike committee, having been able to get to a majority vote is important, I think.
Yeah, that's not a big deal.
Well, I do have to say, Mary definitely raises a good point in terms of recommendations that could come out of the task force. I mean, I personally do see it as kind of having multiple values, the task force. So obviously helping to be an education piece. Whether it's Lyme disease, whether it's, being more aware on Thatcher, driving more safely.
Yeah. I mean, that could
helping
be.
Helping residents with deer on their property, being educational in terms of reminding people to remove. And I know a lot of this is available on the FAQs, but I think, again, having some more proactive education to the residents would be helpful. So even in terms of potentially a community forum to help educate. I do see value in perhaps trying to have something like that done sooner than later, so not waiting until September 30th. Mm-hmm. So I agree that I think this should be an ongoing educational type thing so that we're not losing opportunities to, because again, part of the deer management is, yes, culling is possibly a part of the solution, but the reality is we're experiencing multiple problems, right? Residents are experiencing multiple issues with the deer, which means there's potentially going to be multiple solutions to addressing those.
Right.
And so, yes, there's a time frame in terms of moving forward on culling or not, but in terms of other potential ways to help residents mitigate and reduce the interactions with, particularly negative interactions with the deer would be important. And so
I guess I was going to join in on the fact that I don't think this resolution stops the task force. It sounds it sounds like there's going to be what I'll label as short-term recommendations that will come out at the beginning, whether it's education or whether some other things that the task force can say, we can start doing this today. I would welcome that coming from the task force to say, hey, these are things we can start doing today. Don't have to wait till the end of the written report to do that. And they can phase, you know, wait that. So I will welcome that.
Yeah,
and
great.
I think we all will. But
sure. Makes sense.
Okay. Perfect.
So, okay. So should we go to the membership then? I mean, just to get through this resolution, I'm just trying to find a good way to get through it. All the stuff you're saying, Patty, is great, and I think we can fit them in as we get through it. So the committee, what is the consensus of it should be not? I do think that's the
I do want to share one point that Tim made when we were talking on Friday, because I think the point was raised about, and I know it's been raised here at our board table as well, this idea of having a split of pro versus con, so to speak, in terms of culling. And he highly recommended that that's, and I think that's the point of the application too, is that I don't think we necessarily want to approach this as, well, we need a balance of those who are in favor and those who are opposed. Mm-hmm. We want people, at least I certainly do, and Tim seemed to be in agreement, we want people who are willing to be part of the task force that come at it with an open mind to learning all the information, exploring all the various options to, again, help reduce and limit negative deer interactions in our community in any way that we can do that. And most especially if there's ways of doing that at the least amount of cost to taxpayers. And so I want people who are going to be willing to do some work in terms of homework and reading and reviewing potential suggestions. I would envision perhaps that, and I talked about this, we talked with Tim about this, looking at members sort of like the Imagine group did, where they broke down into some subcommittees in terms of a couple folks working on a particular topic. So whether there were a couple folks who were knowledgeable or had an interest in reviewing some of the Lyme information and how we could best educate the community, they would kind of take the lead on that and report back. If there were folks that wanted to explore ways to how we can help residents with their landscaping, whether someone wants to act as kind of like a mentor or some advice, or how we could explore that would be another route in terms of. So it,
all good stuff.
Again, I would want members to come at this with a more holistic, open-minded approach of community-based deer management.
Right.
Not that this is just strictly a question of are we calling or not calling. It's what can we do collectively, holistically to address the concerns.
Okay. Yeah, very good, Patty. And I think there's no disagreement around the table on that. I think what we are at now is the amount of people you want on this membership. And then we can talk about the application and does it look like it's good enough to drive the type of people that you want on it. So both you and Tom. So hear you. Let's just park that for just 2 minutes and then stay with the membership. So again, our village attorney and I agree with him. I think it's got to be an odd number. So what number should we pick? 7? 11? 9?
Do you have a sense of what other communities have done?
I asked him then, and it really kind of varies. I think in terms of if we want to be able to help lessen in terms of if we want to look at some of these other routes, it seems having a bit more than less would be helpful. I get having too many can be challenging at a meeting. So I don't know. I would say 9 or 11 personally. I don't know that we necessarily need to go.
Tom? Okay. Go ahead.
I was thinking.
And then so you're, and then the two member co's, that would be 13 total. So that seems
that sounds like a lucky number.
Yeah, let's do that.
It is one of my lucky numbers.
Okay.
We'll probably get that many applications. I'm not concerned about that. But do you want to say not more than 13 members, just in case?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yes. For it to be an odd number and not more, or do you want to?
In case we have less.
Yeah.
Wait, shall not be more.
Less than 11 applicants.
So if you have 11.
Say that again.
Yeah, so
I got the more. I didn't get the less.
So not necessarily more, but like if you want 11 people on the committee,
right,
plus you guys, so you would say not more than 11 people.
Right.
So if you don't get, as, you know, if you don't get 11 applications,
I see what you're saying. It'll take down
then
the...
But also it being
gotcha.
Odd because yeah. you want an odd number.
Yeah, so the resolution would provide, if the consensus of the board is for 13 members total, to say 13, and then the resolution in Section A says members shall include 2 members of the Board of Trustees.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So of the
but
13.
But not more than 11 residents.
That's right. So then the remainder yeah. the remainder of, right. of 11 would be appointed. Well, all the members would be appointed by the village president with the vice consent of the trustees, except that 2 of the 13
okay,
have
so
to be.
Okay, so what if, and again, I'm just going to throw yeah. it out. I mean, what if you get 5?
Is that well, gonna,
I, think I know what she's saying, but is that representative of the community? 5?
Then I think at that point, I think we have to reach out to people to, right, exactly.
Okay.
I mean, I'll be honest, I have no sense in terms of okay. what sort of response we're going to get. I have talked to a number of residents who
well,
have.
This is Chairman.
Yeah.
They're all working for you.
She's hiring people without our approval. Just quite kidding.
I've heard from
Go
a number
ahead.
Of residents who
get
are willing and interested in being part of the task force.
Yes. Okay.
Broader than that, I don't know. So,
okay, if you're well, then just,
which
just,
is really, that was my question why I asked John in terms of, we were talking this afternoon in terms of monitoring the responses, because say after a week, you know, we have 30 people and I still want others to feel that they can apply if they would like to apply, but you're not necessarily going to need to have to push that as much if we have a big response. If after a week or so we only have 5 people interested,
okay.
then I think we have to do a more proactive outreach to try and engage people to be a part of it.
All right. Okay, fair enough. Okay, so I think, is that okay then with the board? I mean, it sounds like it's a consensus of Tom and Patty. Okay, so we've got that settled. We know in the chairs, we kind of know that it's going to be two appointed members, right? Mm-hmm. Get that right?
Yes. So and the number 13 will be in sections A and B where the
yes,
X's are.
Right. And then the charge, you want to talk a little bit about that? The first one is draft a community survey and review results.
I think we already touched on the importance
of the survey.
Right.
Anything
that,
else,
right.
like, you know, and a date that, you know, just leave it open.
I'm fine with the 4 that are written.
Okay.
I'm wondering, based on a little bit of what we heard tonight, if we should add not only researching the alternative ways to manage and reduce the deer complex, but researching the reported problems so that they can look into the deer vehicle accidents.
Right. There's
maybe it goes without saying.
It goes without saying. That is the conflict.
You one can read this. Number 2, to just say that they're only researching ways, they're only researching solutions. But I think to research the solutions, they actually have to research the problems.
Well,
yeah,
I
guess, from my opinion, I would say it incorporates that.
Okay.
And I'm saying that for
okay.
the record.
If everyone's clear on that, then I'm fine, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
because it should include data. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't think we just make recommendations based on no research.
Yeah.
No, right.
I would hope
remember,
not.
We don't do that.
Yeah.
So I was told we were
right.
doing that.
If I could, here's where I struggle a little bit with this, is I think what was just discussed is pretty easy to get to. I mean, I think Eric has done a good job of pulling information together. I think the other part of this is going to be a little bit more difficult, and that's the public health piece of this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how open people are going to become to come out and discuss their personal health issues. I think John Rieger, you know, he put his daughter's name out there,
mm-hmm.
you know? And
yep.
so it's the second part of this thing, and I think it's a very important part of it, and I don't know how we get there.
Well, I think that's what the task force needs to figure out. I truly believe that
right.
that has got to be vetted
right.
out.
So if we're going to do it, we have to make it part of this.
I think that's inherent. I mean, that's,
yeah.
that's one
yeah.
of the.
Yeah.
And again, I mean,
I
if that's your
that
if that's
have.
Your statement.
That's one of the deer conflicts
right.
that we have.
Right.
So I do
right.
think that's that concept. I mean, the point you raise is a valid one. That's
right.
going to be difficult to get those answers, but I do think it's covered at least by point
your
two.
Deer conflict.
Right, and I agree with that. And
mm-hmm.
I think that
the task force will be the one dealing right. how to approach that or come up with recommendations right. on how to approach that.
Right. As I reviewed okay. right. the Cornell University study, there okay. wasn't really much conversation around Lyme disease.
Yeah,
about,
but I...
It talked about numbers, and it talked okay. about, you know, getting kids out in the woods and,
sure.
you know, counting deer and that kind of stuff. It really didn't address that. So that's why I'm stating it publicly, is that this is incomplete without that. So.
Okay, I appreciate that, but I think that could be incorporated. I mean, we've had people, residents, raising that as an issue, mm-hmm. valid concern. And I think I've heard the task force wanting to address that, or at least some of the other speakers wanting to address that. So I guess...
And one of the residents
I think you raise a valid point. I think that all of this will still, nothing here will prohibit that discussion. Right. And I think it will be encouraged too, based on what people have already said. So I think it's pretty much covered. And you got two trustees who will make sure that gets addressed somehow or discussed.
And so. I do think that there are ways to get some of that information that the task force will have access yeah. to from our public departments like the Cook County no. Board of Health.
I don't think you couldn't get it specific during a forest.
Yeah.
I think you might be able
Instance
to.
You could get it.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think we got to be real careful. I mean, and I'll right. say this later. I think right. you got to be real careful. We could talk. There's so many right. different opinions. You could, depending on the doctor you want to talk to about CDC and the Cook County Public Health and, I mean, you know, somebody referenced the Wednesday Journal article. I mean, apparently you did some research and there's apparently an increase in Lyme disease. So I think we shouldn't debate, and I'm going to recommend that we do not debate the CDC and Cook County Public Health, because, you know, that's all over the place.
Right.
What matters is what's here in River Forest. Right. What matters is what our neighbors are being affected with, and that's what matters to
well,
us.
Well, and one of the residents has offered to be part of the task force and okay. to help with this yeah. educate. I mean, yeah.
so
the one thing that I think we need to be very careful about, and in terms of educating residents and
mm-hmm.
making sure that this doesn't happen, is that we don't want residents to think, if we were to go the route of calling to address concerns about Lyme disease, that once we do that, people don't necessarily need to be concerned about Lyme disease,
yeah.
because the reality is that,
right.
well, but I think
I agree.
It gives a false sense of where, so yes, we're reducing the risk perhaps by doing that, but it doesn't negate
no.
the importance right. of people of still being mindful if they're going into the woods and if they're using bug spray or doing
right.
a tick check. And I don't want people to think that, okay, we're culling, so okay, we're good with worrying about the Lyme disease now.
I agree with you totally.
I think we have to be very clear about that education and reminders of people, to people, what that means. So I agree with you. I don't think we necessarily have to get
yeah.
so hung up on numbers, but we absolutely have to be clear on the expectations of what.
Okay, very good. So are we okay then with the four here, other than what we've talked about? But it sounds like there's a lot of inherent information that we're going to be gathering. Okay, so let's move on to staff assistant. I don't know how much the staff can assist this, because it really is a resident led, and it's really good that it is. Obviously we got to use their, you know, our website and, you know, our Facebook page and postings of all that, so otherwise nobody's going to know what's going on, and like you said, the e-newsletter for sure. What else would you be wanting the staff to do, so we can get a better feel for their participation, and who would are you thinking of?
I don't know necessarily that we would have to have somebody specific to meetings. Obviously, where it would come into play is as we're going along, if recommendations are coming out in terms of, I'm just going to throw this out there for argument's sake, if there was some sort of product that the village could be using, obviously we would have to discuss with staff what that might look like, how we might be able to incorporate that in terms of budget, that sort of thing.
Yeah, totally.
If we wanted to look at, you know, we have the deer signs on Thatcher. Do we want to look at the possibility of having lit up signs along the, again, these are just things that could potentially be talked about that then.
But I envision that being a report out to the board, which would then tell the administration, the staff to do it. That's how I see that.
Yep.
I mean, because if that's a real recommendation, then
right.
It's our job.
So that's
to
what
tell
I'm saying.
Staff.
So then it does come down to, right, as recommendations come to the board, then it goes to the staff. Not necessarily
right.
that someone has to
right.
be,
you know, okay.
sitting at every.
So
meeting.
I think we.
We need one, at least one person for minutes.
Okay.
For the meetings.
Okay. Are you, so this is going to be open meetings. So you're going to be recording, right? And YouTubing it and live. Okay.
Well, the person that's present is just, I mean,
yeah.
I don't type
right.
well enough to do the minutes.
Well, I think you mentioned possibly Sarah. Okay. Yeah, that seems reasonable.
And
okay.
Can I ask this, since the word open meetings was mentioned, is this going to be, I guess this committee is going to be, right, open to the public. So I guess, so even if it is limited to 11 plus the two of you, there's still an opportunity for people, the residents, to come in and provide comments to the committee. So it's not just going to be the 13 of the group. It's going to be anybody else who's interested in the subject matter as the topic comes around.
So that kind of goes back to it. It's a great point. So does that go back to, do you almost have to schedule these things out?
Yeah.
So
yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Open meetings that you have.
Open meetings, so you have to put the agenda out.
I think early on I just talked about, you know, when they'd meet, and I don't know they've talked about.
Future meetings we haven't planned yet.
No.
It would be
right.
once we constitute.
But they would have to be noticed.
So that would be kind of one of the first things.
Correct.
Right.
They would set their own meeting agendas.
The same requirement.
I mean,
okay. So, okay. So I think, you know, having
correct.
Sarah there, I'm just
right.
choosing you, Sarah,
or
somebody else, but there to do minutes. Okay. And then we've got a report. So item F. We all agreed, I think, last meeting that a final report would come out on September 30th. I know there's been recommendations. I think we agree that there might be interim reports, which is completely,
right.
you know, it should be there anyway,
right.
Interim reports. So if you want to, you know, memorialize that in this resolution.
I don't see anything in the resolution that would preclude
right.
report outs before September 30th.
Or do you want to, are you interested in, like I said, memorializing that and putting an interim report in? I mean, if you're not, I'm okay with that.
At this point, I don't think we know what,
okay.
what or when or interim.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's
you don't know.
Challenging to say to do this now when, in fact, we might not be ready.
Okay. That's
I mean,
fair
from
enough.
A practical perspective, getting the survey out in the spring and fall or summer makes sense because that's when it's most acute. But
okay.
as for the other stuff, you know, at this point, I can't foresee we won't be able to put a report out.
Yes.
The one follow-up I would have on that, too, is if there are items that require expenditure authority, that should really come back to this body. So, I mean,
right.
certainly copies and, you know, routine items are fine. But if the committee came back and said, well, look, we want to hire X consultant at $10,000, even though that's within my spending authority, I would believe that should come back here for
okay.
a board discussion.
Sure.
So that interim,
okay.
those interim steps will
yeah,
probably
thank
happen.
You.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Should that be mentioned in the resolution or just assume?
No, the committee won't. None of your
no
commissions
authority.
Have
right.
spending
right.
authority. They would have to come to Eric, and he just told you that he'd bring it back to the board. So
right.
that's the good process to follow.
So, yeah.
Okay. I thought there was a few that did. All right. No worries.
I mean,
okay.
for instance, your pension, public safety pension
right.
committees are kind of more independent from
right.
you.
Okay.
But overall, they don't really get budget unless you budget for
right.
them.
Because we
on
do
an
give a budget
basis.
To sustainability.
That's right. But this committee would not have a budget
okay.
assigned to it, so
fair
they
enough.
Don't have that authority.
All right, so then I think the rest is pretty rudimentary. There's nothing really in there that takes. So I think we got most of the changes. Maybe Greg, would you just want to go over them so that it's clear before we take a final vote?
Yeah, so I have two changes noted. They're both on the first page of the resolution, section 1A. The X's in the first sentence will be replaced to read, the committee shall consist of not more than 13 appointed members who shall be appointed by the village president, so on. And then in section 1B, the other change is that from the 13 appointed members, the village president shall select two chairs who will serve as co-chairs of the committee. Otherwise, the resolution would read as amended with the red lines. And then in subsection D on the second page, we take out the parenthetical there in the final resolution.
Okay. Everybody good with that? Okay, so we're ready for the vote on this. Okay. So the one, well, before we vote, I just wanted to just say a couple of things because I think we've had a long winding road to get here. But I personally, because I'm not going to vote, so I'm not going to be, hopefully it goes unanimous. But before we vote, I want to say that I'm definitely 110% behind the Deer Management Task Force, always has been. I think this will help us build an education and outreach program so that our residents can learn how to coexist with deer in our community. I don't think anybody really ever said we were going to eradicate deer, but and that we didn't love deer. We absolutely love deer, and we all know where we live in terms of by the river and by the forest, and that's why we're here. So as elected officials, however, I do believe we govern, and I hope that from this task force, we do have the responsibility first and foremost to the health and safety of our community. That's what we get elected to do. We certainly get elected to do other things, but that should, I believe, is our purpose and role. So certainly one way to address the health and safety of our community is through better education and outreach programs. So I believe the task force will accomplish that. And tonight we will vote on the Deer Management Task Force, which I believe and I hope will be a unanimous decision and a vote. I also urge the board to consider other actions along the way that will help improve the health and safety of our community. I believe our local neighbors and residents, John and Gigi, when they talk about their issues with Lyme disease and their families, I acknowledge what my neighbor Eskel had said, that nobody should hype up Lyme disease for the sole sake of hyping it up. And I don't believe any one of us along this table has ever hyped up that issue. It has been our residents who have come to us and have spoken to us. And each and every one of us always listen to our residents, just like we are listening to all of you that are here tonight. So I believe them. I believe John's statement when he says 7 for 7. And I believe what he says, perhaps what he said in the newspaper, there might be 25 families undiagnosed. I believe them. They're our neighbors, they're our friends, they're our residents. We all realize that deer ticks are not going away. I realize that, we'll never go to zero, and it will probably never decrease. But we certainly can do something to stop it increasing. And so awareness and education is certainly one area that can help the increase in our community. I also have heard, and we've talked about the CDC and the Cook County Public Health Department, and we certainly can talk to many doctors that have many different opinions, but in the end, what matters most is our community, our residents, our neighbors, and I care for them, and I will continue to always believe in them. I also believe our local call and police center data, report data, that I hope and sounds like you will use as you look at your task force, as you begin your task force. It was provided us several weeks ago at the board meeting, and I think there's some meaningful data in there. We have 100% increase of dead deer year over year, 100% increase. This, it's like I said, it's been on our website. In the last 4 months, I believe it's been 9 dead deer that we've reported. Of course, one accident is too many. And so we have to fight for our residents in every way we can to keep it safe. Again, our role as elected officials is to keep our community safe. I believe that the task force can help in educating our residents about what we can do to decrease the amount of dead deer. And I hope we look at decreasing the dead deer by 50%. I think that would be a good goal for the task force to look at as you move forward. I think by reducing the dead deer by 50%, we actually save money to the village, because currently the village collects the dead deer. And I'm not just talking about accidents. I'm talking about impaled deer. I'm talking about deer that end up in our streets that nobody reports. And somebody calls in and says there's a deer laying dead. Car definitely hit it, but the car never reported it. So we do have somewhat of an under probably reported car accident report. But the dead deer in its total is a pretty powerful and meaningful information that we have that I hope you'll look at as you begin these discussions in your task force. So with that, I think I'm hopeful that our efforts around meaningful measurements, and I know, Patty, you've been talking about meaningful measurements since we started this conversation, so I have high hopes that this task force will really zero in on meaningful measurements and actions that will continue to make our community, where we live here and who we represent, a healthier and safer community. So with that, I wish you well, and like I said, I'm confident this will be unanimous. Please.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Cargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay, great. Okay, so we have a review and approval of the application. So if I can get a motion and a second on this, then we will also talk about the application.
I move that we approve the application for the Ad Hoc Committee on Deer Management.
I'll second.
Okay, so did everyone get a chance to look at the application? It looks like it's reimagined.
Right.
Which is cool.
It is reimagined. I personally took a look at that, the District 200 application. There's
reliving
ended
the
up
moment.
Being multiple pages because it obviously pertained to things specific to their task at hand. So I eliminated questions that I didn't think were relevant, mostly took questions in terms of my point earlier in that I would like people to approach this with an open mind and come at this for the right reasons. And I think these questions help flesh that out a little bit. If anybody has any suggestions of something they would suggest differently or something they would omit then from what's on here. Otherwise, I thought this.
I have just a couple of suggestions.
Yes.
I don't know if it has to be on the application itself or instructions for it, but obviously like to give the information about when it's going to be due, things like that. Also lists here mailing address. And so I think what we want to make sure is maybe like your residential address, because we want
to
make sure that
these
are just
that's a good point.
River Forest people. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
If your mailing,
no,
if your mailing
point.
Address is
it's
in River
point.
Forest, but you live somewhere else, are you going to be allowed
the
to
home address,
no,
not
no, no,
mailing?
You
no,
know.
River Forest just,
yeah, so
right.
Maybe your residential address.
But you
right.
Don't live
if,
here.
Right.
I agree.
No, that's a good suggestion.
Suggestion. Very good.
And then question number five, I'm not sure, I mean,
yeah,
there might be a specific reason why you want that question there. If you do, I would take away or reword somehow a own a home. I think everybody, wherever somebody lives is their home.
Right.
So do you mean a single family house or?
And again, this was copy and pasted.
Yep.
So
yeah,
we can change
okay,
any.
To mention that to you. I think we just take this out. Cause it's not, as long as they live in River.
Yeah.
Well, no, I guess where I on one hand, when I was first going through, I was like, is this something that's needed? On the other hand, where I thought there might be some value is understanding the perspective. You know what I mean? Somebody who lives in a house, so whether they own it or not, it's irrelevant. But if they live in a house, their experiences on a single family home is certainly going to be different than and again, I'm not.
Yes, and so I figured that might be one of the reasons. I didn't know if that was specifically one of the reasons. So it'd be up to you guys whether you want to keep that or not. But if you're gonna do it, I would say be specific to single family house and / townhouse.
How about just say,
we could eliminate
single family home or multiple unit dwelling. Yeah, that's
right.
Okay.
Right.
Why is it important that someone owns versus rents?
Right. No, again.
So, based on a previous comment that you made, Patty, question number six, I think you're going to struggle a little bit. Because I think what you're going to get is you're either going to get somebody saying, I want you to call deer, or I don't want you to call deer as an answer there. So, I just would put that out there is if you want to figure out a way to rephrase that. But I think you could, you know, I'm guessing you're going to get one or two answers there, and that's going to be a struggle for you then to try to meet your goal of getting people who are open-minded on the subject. So I just throw that out.
But then that would, I don't mean to disagree with what you just said, but then that would tell you the person probably wouldn't be as open-minded if they just put in there the reason they're doing it, it's one or the other.
Right.
And I guess when I said it earlier the last time, and it happened, imagine when there were certain individuals that were known to have one viewpoint, there were community members that were out there attacking the group saying that it was structured a certain way, and it wasn't true.
Right.
So what I was trying to address, and I'm not trying to take away with what Patty said, is that I hope they're all individuals who are open-minded. But if we know, for example, that someone answers that way, then I think we would know that's probably one person we may not want on this committee if they only have one solid viewpoint. That's the only reason I see some validity with number six being there. And for those that would be open-minded, they're probably going to give you a more generic answer about how they're going to look at a viewpoint. And I shouldn't probably say this, I'm writing their application. But they would be saying more than that.
All right. Stop. Yeah, I could envision answers like, because I think community deer task force is an important way to, you know, create a forum, resource to solve this issue. Right. Hopefully there'd be more answers like, not on one side or the other.
Right.
You never know.
Okay.
Right. Okay, any other comments on the application? Other than, are we changing six or we're just going to leave it kind of like
I
what Katie said?
Six, yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other points?
Just one more. So there are asterisks by
some
of these.
Too.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine that's probably because on the last form they were required, but you might want to make all of the questions required because it looks like number eight isn't.
Oh.
It could have just been,
a change.
So, and number 16 and 17 aren't, so that's just something to think about.
Sendolini.
All right. Yeah, no, that's a good catches.
And to your point earlier, yes, I do think we want to note the deadline of when they're due.
Yes.
And also, as we said, share the date for the first meeting so people at least tentatively can have it on their calendars to know that that's going to be our first date to meet.
And did you contemplate whether this is going to be online and or mailing in or what the medium is for people to submit?
We were assuming online because SurveyMonkey seems to be the easiest in terms of getting information back.
Okay.
I imagine like anything we've done online, if there are folks that for whatever reason have, so perhaps could be a point that if somebody needs to do it differently.
Okay.
But Res raised this point to anyone I was talking to, that we should offer paper copies at the library and maybe even the community center so that seniors that may not be as active on social media, so that they're aware of it as well.
And here, too.
That's true.
But I mean,
absolutely.
But his point, which is a good one, is they interact more with the library than they do the village.
Right. No, it's a good idea.
So just getting it out there.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. All right. So those are good suggestions. Hearing no further ones, I'll go ahead and ask the did we capture all those?
Yeah, so the motion, it was made by Trustee Brennan, seconded by Trustee Hennick, is to approve the application and modify number five to say, do you live in a single-family house or a multi-unit building, and then make all questions required to be answered, correct?
And no asterisks. Right.
Right.
And include the date when it needs to be returned.
Right, yeah, and that kind of information can just be added to the form when it's put on village letterhead and all that as well.
Just to be clear, they will have asterisks, which will indicate that they're
required,
they're required to answer them.
They're all
but they'll all have asterisks.
That indicates
so should we have a date now?
So why don't we just put at the top, please fill in all the boxes.
Should we have a date now?
That's typical of most forms when it's required, there's an asterisk there.
Patty and I talked about the 18th for the turn-in date.
Okay, because we're going to have to put that on. If this is the form you're approving tonight, then we would want a date certain.
Right.
The 18th.
The 18th? Okay.
Then that's what we'll put and make sure that that gets in the newsletter, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. So I'll ask the clerk to please take the vote.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Kargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay, great. I think that's it. Do we have any executive session? Okay, so.
Adjourn.
Thank you.
Wait, I have a question. This was put on our desk for some reason.
Oh, because you approved it.
It's an amendment to the minutes.
It expands on the comments that were made.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have explained that to the new trustees. Complete apologies.
But you voted on it already, so.
Did you have any issue with it?
No, I just.
Okay.
You didn't understand it. Okay, fair enough. Okay, yes. Sometimes we get calls in and. All right. Somebody second.
Trustee Kargi made the motion. I don't think a second's been made.
Second.
Okay. Very good.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
All right. We're done.